This is Linz.
This is Russ.
And we're married.
Are we?
Yep, since 2013.
We're the hosts of the Unfiltered Union podcast,
where we discuss popular headlines and interview interesting people.
Our opinions may vary, but we will never censor our guests or our viewpoints.
Welcome to the Unfiltered Union. Welcome to the Unfiltered Union.
The what?
I know. In case you didn't notice, we rebranded.
That we did, and that took a while because of all the work, but I think it was worth it.
I think so, too. And I think with all of the new guests that we've had, it really goes hand in hand with our rebrand in that we're having interesting people come on and not filtering out any opinions of ourselves or the others.
Yeah, we don't censor people here.
Absolutely.
Even if we don't like them or not like them. That sounds really bad. Even if we don't agree with what they're saying.
There you go.
You can believe what you want to believe.
Everyone deserves a voice.
Period. Exactly. And I do want to go through kind of a roll call on our last bunch of guests because we had a lot in between our, you know, one-on-one talks.
For sure.
And Chris Revis was our most recent. He's a Bitcoin expert and author of 3 books.
And we will for sure have him back.
Yes, he's got his third book is actually coming out next month. Or no, May. I'm sorry, May 2024. And Sergio Halabi is an independent researcher from Bahrain who studies ancient civilizations.
A world away.
Yes.
It is crazy that we get to talk to somebody who's so far away and have these amazing conversations. It was enlightening to me.
Me too. I've always been super interested in pyramids and ancient civilizations because of the lack of knowledge that we're taught and just breaking down what the pyramids may or may not have been used for was super interesting.
Crazy. Then we also had Reverend Katie O'Dunn.
Reverend Katie O'Dunn, OCD expert and
advocate.
She designs treatment plans for people who have OCD that are religious, because sometimes you might not be able to do certain ERP therapies based upon your religion.
That conversation was crazy, too. With your experience in OCD versus someone experiencing it on the religious front, I mean, you don't think of these things, right?
Like, no, like trying to tell a Jewish person to not be kosher.
Right.
That's insane. You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
They will quit therapy.
Right.
And then Phoebe Pierpoint, who is a coach for entrepreneurs. She was awesome. She talks all about changing mindsets and unlocking your potential.
And I think one of the things that she really did for us was ask the question. She said, what is your goal with this podcast? And
yeah,
I mean, you and I have talked about that a million times over, but actually having somebody ask that and then explain it. I mean,
oh yeah,
you can just tell right there. Phoebe is on point with her goals.
On point.
Right. See what I did there.
Well, the answer to that question too changed. It morphed for me. I'm pretty sure it morphed for you too, that at first we did this as a hobby.
Yeah.
We enjoyed it. It was fun to kind of sit down and break down latest headlines. But as we've morphed into more of like this interview style, I get to talk to people that I would never talk to.
For sure.
Aside from these interviews.
Absolutely. I think there are so many people in the world who have stories to tell. And I honestly don't care what the story is. I think that anyone who has something that they would like to say and can say it well, let us know. Come on to the Unfiltered Union and join us and be a guest.
Yes. If you do have a cool story or you know somebody with a cool story, send them our way. Either go to our website, unfilteredunion.com, or go ahead and email us, unfilteredunion@gmail.com, and we'll try to schedule you and get you on and talk about your story.
Absolutely. And all the things that have been happening here at Unfiltered Union with the rebrand and then all of our guests, there's also a lot going on in the world right now.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, it's weighty again, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's a common theme. But it makes me wonder what's going on, what's happening that they don't want us to know.
Honestly, I don't know if it's the idea of redirection, right? Or if this is the real thing, because it's big, right? Let's go ahead and say it. We have the documentary out right now called Quiet on Set, and it's all about the Nickelodeon child stars who experienced toxic workplaces, sexual abuse, just all around child abuse while on set for these shows.
That's so fucked up.
It's crazy. And everybody keeps saying, if you watch this, it's going to ruin 90s nostalgia type shows for you, like Amanda Bynes' show. I mean, I think based on everything that she's gone through over the most recent years, you can't watch that show the same. But now knowing that, yes, she has maybe some mental health things that she's going through.
But it's understandable.
But there's a reason.
Yeah, mental illness most of the time comes from trauma.
For sure.
And she has trauma.
Yep.
Clearly unresolved trauma.
Absolutely. And I am watching the documentary. Russ is choosing to opt out. And I respect that because it is a lot. But to hear their stories and watch their body language as they're telling them, like, you know that they are reliving trauma, like trying to get this information out there.
Yeah, that's, no child should ever have to go through that.
And what breaks my brain is that these people that are not only accused, but there's even some that have been convicted, are still in the business.
Yeah.
And some of them haven't been arrested for the things that they've been accused for. And I get it. You can't just accuse somebody and expect them to go to jail. You have to go through the process and prove it, right? And I think that's one of the good things about our justice system. But it's so crazy to me that all of these people are speaking out against one person and nothing has happened to them.
Innocent until proven guilty. You can't just take word for it. You have to prove it. Guilt has to be proven by the accusing party.
I get it.
I do too. It's hard though, especially with all of this stuff that's happening with Nickelodeon. These are children.
Well, and it was 20, 30 years ago at this point too.
And how do you prove that at this point?
Right.
That's the messed up part.
Exactly. And
they didn't have internet and stuff back in the day. They didn't have Netflix. So it was hard for them to find somebody most likely to help them spread their voice because yep. Hollywood is just one big giant cult.
Yep.
In my opinion. it's strange. One big figure in there in Nickelodeon TV was in court and his side of the house was packed.
Right. So
of supporters.
What you're talking about is Drake Bell's abuser. And I'm not even going to say the person's name because they're a piece of shit. He was accused and convicted of sexually abusing Drake Bell. And during the
sentencing,
during sentencing, his entire side of the courtroom was filled up with people in support of this individual, even though
he was convicted
of sexually abusing a child.
That's unreal to me that anybody would support somebody that did something like that. And he was convicted. He was guilty.
It is crazy. And now add a layer, right? Now you have Diddy.
The diddler.
There's all kinds of comedians memes. Going on.
Some of them are really fucking funny,
it's
though.
It's crazy. But you have Diddy, who had a mansion, a compound in Miami that was raided, and he fled the country before the raid happened.
Which seems like, to me, somebody must have tipped him off.
And what he's being accused of is human sex trafficking.
I don't get it.
This is like wave after wave after wave. And we people are being shown evidence of these disgusting people, but still nothing happens.
Right. Does fame come at a cost?
Well, I'm serious. Yes.
Do you have to sell your soul to become famous and rich?
I really hope not.
I hope not too.
I really want to believe that there are good people, right? Like there's good people. When I think of like nostalgic 90s shows, Boy Meets World's a big one for me. And the fact that Will Friedle and Ryder Strong wrote letters on behalf of Drake Bell's abuser.
The convicted guy.
Now, there was an asterisk on all this that said that they may or may not have known what he was convicted of. They may or may not have known, you know, what was happening with the abuser at the time. But like that hit me hard.
Yeah, but how do you write a character statement on someone and not know what he did?
I don't know. They did an episode on Pod Meets World that I need to go listen to because that one hit me hard. But going back to Diddy, like you have all of these prominent people who are being named for Epstein Island, and all of these prominent people who are getting raided and having, I can't wrap my head around it.
You know what's weird is we still haven't really seen that full client list.
Well, someone I saw, you know, a comment, because Facebook, Instagram, all social media is just so reliable that they're working the list, right?
What do you mean you're working the list?
Going down each person and trying to figure out what their role is in any of it. You know, like Diddy apparently was on the list, and look what happened.
Well, maybe that's true.
Maybe.
I don't trust the government to do the right thing either.
It's just breaking my brain, and it's so heavy.
I mean, seriously, though, think about it. Why does it seem very common in Hollywood to have abusers as head figures? I'm serious. Harvey Weinstein.
Mm-hmm.
Now this...
Dan Schneider.
This Dan Schneider stuff.
The abuser of Drake Bell.
Diddy. It's confusing. Is it something you have to do to become famous?
Maybe.
This is conspiracy level shit that I'm talking about, but it just makes me wonder.
I honestly don't know which way is up on this shit. I know people say that in movies and video or in movies and shows that they are trying to tell us things before they happen, right? I don't know. I don't know either. Which way is up on all this.
I don't like it, period. Especially the Nickelodeon shit, where that was mine and your childhood, and these kids that we watched religiously were abused.
It's crazy.
It makes me sad, and it makes me super freaking mad.
Yeah, at this point, the only thing I can think about the documentary for Quiet On Set is that they're finally getting their voice out, you know, like finally being heard. Because Drake Bell had never, the record was sealed. He was a minor when it happened. So they didn't put his name in any of it, right? So he was protected in that way. But obviously, you know, it happened to him. So he never spoke out about it until now.
Right.
And I think the only way to heal is to talk about it, whether that's in therapy or try and get some sort of redemption from it, you know, like try to move beyond it. So good for them. But man, is it a lot. It's heavy.
It's sad because that he's just one on the long list of kids that was abused.
Yep.
In the TV industry. And that's fucked up.
Yep. Well, speaking of Nickelodeon, the new Avatar show came out on Netflix. God, probably a month ago now, right?
Yeah, it's been a while. We had a lot of interviews. But anyway, so the Avatar, The Last Airbender live action came out on Netflix.
Oh, good.
We binged it. And...
Hey! Okay, we'll get to that in a second. Remember that you said we binged it. Remember you said that. Keep going.
We watched it and I thought it was good. Now, I will put a disclaimer on that, though. Don't go in thinking it's going to be the cartoon because it's nowhere near as fleshed out as that. But on its own, it was very good, in my opinion.
I agree. That if you go into it not trying to compare it to the cartoon, then you'll probably have a better experience. But I still feel like there was so... Well, actually, it's both, right? If you go into it thinking or not trying to compare it to the cartoon, it's good. And you get a lot of detail. Some that wasn't in the cartoon.
Right.
But also the vice versa is true, where you watch the cartoon and try to pair it up to the live action and some details missing.
I will say a lot of details missing.
Right. I mean, they, of course, you know, going from a cartoon that's, I forget how many.
Episode.
Is that the right word? My brain. How many episodes were in the cartoon, like, per season? It's a lot, though. I'm talking, like, maybe 30s or 40s. And versus doing an 8-episode live action on Netflix, right? So there's a big difference. You can't get that nuanced. I get that. But there's certain things that just weren't there. Like, Zuko cutting his hair. Like, that never happened. And it did in the first book. There's a couple of key aspects that were missing. So, again, it's both ways. Like, there's some things in the show, the live action, that weren't in the cartoon and vice versa. So, it was good. I will say that. It was good. But are they also going to run into the same issue Stranger Things has, where the kids are aging too fast.
I don't think so. It's only going to be 3 seasons, and they've already signed the next 2.
I really do hope it's 3 seasons, because book 3, Fire, that book, I think, was like 50 episodes. I could be totally off there, but it was a lot.
Yeah. I really do hope they do Toph right.
Me too.
But I think it was good. Definitely was cut. A lot of that, those side quests, you could say, were cut out just to progress the story a lot faster. And I do believe maybe Netflix has learned their lesson on child actors and trying to get these shows out quick.
Yep. Because heaven forbid there's another strike. I mean,
right.
Jeez.
Because now Stranger Things finale is going to have all adults playing kids. So, I liked it. Was it better than the cartoon? Absolutely not. The cartoon is legendary.
Forever.
But it was good. It, on its own, it was good.
I agree. The CG aspects of Appa and Momo, like, and their actual bending, that was all really good.
It was nuts. It was a little graphic on certain parts, too. Like, the firebending stuff. It was like, okay, that's a bit much for a child to watch.
Yeah, our 9-year-old watched the season with us.
He said, where'd the guy go?
We had to fast forward a couple parts, cover her eyes.
But that it was good. I recommend it.
Agreed. And you said, when we first started talking about Avatar live action, that we binged that, and we recently just binged 3 Body Problem.
Oh, my goodness.
And you said that we hadn't binged in a while. It had been a month.
It's been 2 months.
Okay. That's not very far in
between. We did binge Avatar, but we didn't binge it as hard as 3 Body Problem, because we did have our 9-year-old watching it with us, because she freaking loves the cartoon.
But talking about 3 Body Problem.
That, seriously, for 1 season, on my top 5 list already. 100%.
I don't know. I don't know if it's definitely top 10, I'll say. I don't know if it's top 5, because it's quite the cliffhanger, I'll say.
Yeah. You got to hope that more seasons come out and close up on the loop.
They better, because if they leave it like this, then I'm probably going to have to read the books. But I'm going to read the books anyways, I think.
Yeah, me too. I do want to. It's so hard for me to even talk about the show because of how twisty and turny it is. At first, you're like, what the fuck is happening?
Seriously, the best way I can describe it is Inception, except not dreams. It's the universe.
They revealed a lot in the first season, which I liked a lot. Because you're like, why are these events happening? And they give you these little subtle hints. And then all of a sudden, boom, they're like, all right, we're going to answer that question that you've had for the first 3 episodes. We're going to answer it. We're going to straight up tell you what's happening. And you're like, what the fuck?
It's almost like overload.
Yeah. You're like, oh, holy shit. But it was insane. It is so far very amazing. I freaking loved it. I'm a sci-fi dweeb, and this is like the perfect show for me.
The actors they have, too,
yes,
are really good.
Yes, I will go so far to say this is better than their first adaptation, which is Game of Thrones. I think it's better than Game of Thrones.
Get out.
Nope.
Goodbye.
100%.
No, you're lying. No, because do you remember how diehard we were?
I love Game of Thrones. I'm not saying it's bad.
No, let me just say, our maternity shoot for our daughter 9 years ago, almost 10, we had a chalkboard that said winter is coming and so is our daughter. Mm-hmm. This is how into GOT we were. G-O-T, Game of Thrones.
I'm not.
You can't say that.
Yes, I can. Because I prefer sci-fi over fantasy. And there wasn't much mind fuckery in Game of Thrones. It was more of like this static
political scheming.
Yeah, which I love. Don't get me wrong. But this one is like, you literally say holy shit almost every other episode because you're like, did that just happen? Holy shit. I remember looking at you like 10 times an episode, like, what?
But I still feel like the idea of Inception, right? where you have to, we have to go back and rewatch that with the things that we know now about it.
I agree.
Because there's so many underlying metaphors, things that are said but not, that are, you know, said in a certain way but mean something else. And it's a mindfuck for sure.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. And I can't wait for, hopefully, the next couple of seasons.
I feel like I know more about physics after watching it, too.
I pretend to know more about physics.
I know that I am physically here.
Yeah, and I don't even want to discuss this too deep because of how insane the twists and turns are. It's nuts. I don't want to spoil anything. Just know that it was amazing.
I really want to read the books.
I do too.
I feel like it would be, although it's probably going to be one of those where I struggle with a lot of the,
like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, names and places.
Well, especially since it's a Chinese novel and the characters' names don't translate one for one to the book.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
It's going to break my brain. But that's good. We've got a lot of books to read.
You have a lot of books to read to tell me about.
No, because we have Chris's book coming out in May. And then we also have these books for Three Body Problem. I mean, whoo.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
How smart do you have to be in order to write a book like that? But, I mean, we have been on a kick of watching TV recently.
Yes. That's because good shows are actually coming out.
Right. The strike is over.
Shogun's out.
I was getting ready to go there. Glad we're one mind. So, Shogun is another one. That's on FX, right?
Yes.
It is all about the Japans back in the, 1600s?
Is it considered feudal Japan?
Oh, yeah.
I think. Is that what they call that age for Japan? Feudalism? Feudal?
Maybe.
Japan? I think that's what
it is. Time of the samurai.
Yes, essentially the shogun rule and things of that nature.
Absolutely. Anyways.
There was the rise of the Catholic Church there, too.
Yes.
With the Portuguese.
Yes. So Shogun's all about a man from England who sails to Japan trying to find what the Portuguese have been, quote unquote, hiding. It's supposed to be this big trade that they have with Japan.
Yeah.
And full of riches, and England wants in on it.
Portugal is getting rich off of Japan, and they're kind of trying to keep it to themselves.
Right. So the gentleman from England makes it there, and then ensues all the political samurai shogun world of Japan that this gentleman from Britain is forced into.
Right. And culture stuff, like the culture shock he experiences.
Well, I'm trying to get this to come out of my head, right? The idea that anybody from a different country calls the person that is native a savage, right? That idea of they, as in the Japanese, are calling this guy from England a savage.
Calling him a barbarian, and he's calling them savages.
Right.
So it's like, really funny.
But it's like, who's right? You know? I mean, exactly. I know neither of them are, but who's right in that situation? Because you have the gentleman from England who won't take more than one bath a week.
Yeah. Because, I don't want to get the flux.
Because of dysentery, mm-hmm. Which is because, you know, back then they had unclean water in England.
It was a huge population in a small area, which lent itself towards shit water.
Exactly. Whereas in Japan, they didn't have that problem.
Nope.
So they bathed all the time.
Right.
They had bathhouses. Like, this was a thing.
Yep.
So who's right? Obviously neither. But the idea of the culture clash is huge in this show. Well, and it is beautiful to watch, in my opinion.
Yes. And I will say that I am kind of on the UK guy side and freaking out over their culture.
It is rigid.
It's so rigid. So spoiler alert right now for real, because at the very beginning of the show, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
There is a scene where a guy speaks out of turn.
Yep.
And it's a huge sign of disrespect.
In defense of his quote unquote lord,
yes,
if you will.
And the lord of the kingdom that he lives in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Fief. Whatever it's called. Fee, fi, fo, fum.
Yeah.
He spoke out of turn and he had to kill himself and kill his infant son to stop his bloodline. I'm like, Holy shit. Just for talking.
Yep. And the wife of the guy who just killed himself and the child, they forced her to stay alive for honor.
Right. And she became the consort of the barbarian UK guy. And I thought that dynamic was super interesting too. The consort doesn't necessarily mean pillowing. But she takes care of the affairs in his house.
Yes.
So cleanliness, and this isn't to say that she's cleaning his house. She has servants to do that because he's technically this higher ranking person now.
But it has to be done in a certain way, again, yes. Rigidity.
And she takes care of finances, like making sure that the servants get the dinners ready, and it's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
It is extremely interesting watching that, but that culture scares me.
I don't know. There's just something. It's poetic, right? The whole idea of this time period, to me, like the biggest thing out of it is poetry. Like haiku is a big thing. I think it came during this time. And the way that they have the other, well, her name is Mariko. And she is the translator for the guy from the UK.
Yes.
And the way she describes things, like the eighth wall fence, I'm not really here in the moment with you. I can be a million miles away within myself and protecting myself. Like it's poetic the way they describe things.
It's a solid show. It's I believe it's only a one seasoner. Which is unfortunate, but it's based on a book, and it's one book, so they plan on it being over, and that's it. But it's solid. I definitely enjoy that one. It's on the more violent end of things, so if you're sensitive, probably skip it.
Well, and then my dad told me it's actually a reboot. They did it back in the 80s, too, and he said he liked it.
Yeah.
Totally good show, and again, I think we have really kind of immersed ourselves in Japanese culture at the moment.
I love that shit. I've always wanted to go to Japan.
One day, I think we will. One day.
I feel like I might be really tall.
You're ridiculous.
It might be the only place
you're
that I'm
5'7".
Tall.
You're not that tall.
I'm 5'9".
Oh, okay. I think you're 5'7".
I'm 5'9".
Okay, well.
Go get to a yardstick.
I'm 5'2", so it's fine. Anyways, but Japanese culture, our daughter loves sushi.
She does.
I have never met.
And anime.
Yes, and anime. I have never met another 9-year-old that likes sushi as much as she does.
And we're not talking about just California roll.
Yeah.
We're talking about nigiri,
uh-huh.
Which is tuna on top of a seasoned ball of rice. Straight tuna.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
She loves it.
So we would go to this spot, and I would get three different types of nigiri, which would be salmon, some kind of white fish, and then tuna. She'd steal my tuna.
And every time.
And it's okay. She's my daughter, but I wanted that damn tuna. That's my favorite one on the plate.
So now we've started ordering her own.
Yes.
She gets an order of gyoza. She gets a California roll, and she gets two pieces of the tuna
nigiri.
I don't, she loves it.
I'm probably butchering the way you say that, but it's close enough.
If you say so. We went to a place actually in Tampa.
Yes.
Called Kura, K-U-R-A. And it is conveyor belt sushi, and we were in heaven.
I liked it. I didn't love it.
Agreed.
The experience was top level. You cannot get that experience anywhere else.
And I think that's why I enjoyed it so much, especially watching our kiddo.
Uh-huh.
She loved it.
Oh, yeah.
She was in heaven.
I just wish the food was a little bit better.
Agreed. You know, when you get to buffets for sushi or this idea of conveyor belt, right? It's going around the belt a couple times.
Yes.
And it's
sushi
under
makes me scared.
Hot lights. And we didn't get sick or anything. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, the flavor, the freshness isn't right to you.
Yeah, I like when we go to our favorite spot, I always get that tricolor sushi. But it always comes out and that fish is cold.
Uh-huh.
And I love that feeling. I don't know. It's something about that the coldness of the fish with the little bit of cold ginger and then a little bit of cold wasabi on the top of it. It's the shit. Uh-huh. You don't really get that there. A lot of the stuff there was
room temp, right?
Well, and it was cooked.
True. Another thing that they did was you could actually order straight from the belt.
Yes.
So they had one that was kind of going around all the tables, but then there was one that would come directly to your table.
That was cool.
And it would literally go ting every time.
The other cool part, depositing your plates.
Yes.
They gamified sushi eating.
Every 15 plates.
You got a prize.
You got a prize.
So we had to eat a lot.
We were determined. We got to 22 plates, so yes. We did get one prize.
Yes,
we couldn't make it any further.
But I think it was every five you got an animation on the screen. So right. There's a screen at your table, too, that you can actually order specialty dishes from, which was kind of cool. It would shoot it directly towards you, and that shit was fast.
It was cool.
But it was awesome. I enjoyed the experience. I'm a sushi fan, too, and I just... very particular about it, I guess.
I get it. But also, one of the things that our daughter loves is the Gudetama show on Netflix.
Yes.
And it's about an egg who escapes a sushi restaurant.
It's weird.
It is, but she likes it. But they actually have a show, or in the show, they actually have a conveyor belt sushi place.
Yes.
So she was, again, she loved it, loved the experience, and... she even noticed certain things that I didn't while we were there. There was one of the robots that would actually go around in her Gudetama show.
Take the drinks
and stuff. Take drinks and serve and take away plates. There was one in this restaurant. Yes. And she pointed it out to me.
Yep.
I had no idea what that was.
Yeah. I mean, I would go back. It was up there in expense.
I would go back just for the toilets.
Oh, see, I didn't go there.
Oh, my God. These toilets, they were kind of crazy to me and our daughter. But she, I mean, you know, she was amazed, too. But they're, I believe they're Japanese toilets. They're no touch. You don't touch. You can make selections if you want.
Selections for what?
They have a bidet. There is other options of, like, to clean it, like, in clothes. And there's lights and...
Wait.
There was so much going on with this toilet.
Did you use the bidet?
No, God, no.
Why not?
I don't know how I feel about a public bidet.
Why?
I don't know.
It's just blasting water in your bunghole.
Right, but blasting water and other water had touched it. I don't know. It's just, I don't know how I feel about it. But it was just a cool toilet.
See, I wish I would have went. Now I have to go back so I can do the toilet.
Oh, and it was a heated seat, too.
Because I will try the bidet.
It was a heated toilet seat.
I will YOLO that bidet.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, see, but the only thing that I don't like about that, they say it's more environmentally friendly because you're not using paper. You got to dry your butt, though. Right? You can't just pull your chaps up.
This toilet may have a dryer, too.
You think it dries your butthole?
I don't know. There was a lot of options.
That answers my question, then. And maybe we should just buy those toilets for our house.
No. Yes. Okay.
Again, air dryer on the butthole.
Still so much going on in the world. We're going to jump from all things popular television and our experience at that restaurant over to, if you didn't know, Russ and I were born and raised in the DC metropolitan area. We lived there our entire lives until we moved to Florida about 3-4 years ago now. We heard about the bridge collapse in Baltimore.
Yeah. Key Bridge.
Crazy.
Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely crazy that something like that happened where we're from. Like, I mean, we weren't directly in that area, but that whole area is the metropolitan of DC.
Let me ask you a question. How many bosses do you think said you have to come into work anyway?
Well, apparently there was no way in or out.
That's what I'm talking about. That was a main commuter
bridge
help.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So if you haven't heard, you can look it up. It's all over social media. But the Key Bridge essentially collapsed after a shipping vessel collided with the structure, with one of the bridge beams.
And you can actually watch the whole video because they have a live video feed of the bridge. So you could see the boat lose power
twice
and slam into it.
Right. And it's kind of weird.
Here we go.
I know.
Dun, dun, dun.
I am not a bridge expert. This is purely opinion. Take it for what you will. You go watch the video.
Unfiltered opinion.
Exactly. We should do that. Make a button. Unfiltered opinion. Every time we start doing this crap. But go watch the video and you'll see when the boat strikes it, there's a good amount of time, at least a couple seconds, before the whole thing falls. I mean, maybe that's how it's supposed to happen. I don't know, but it's odd. Also, on top of that, infrastructure is a big problem in that
U.S.
In, well, yes, true, but also in the D.C. area. It is very overpopulated in the D.C. area, and infrastructure is a large problem. Seeing this happen, there's a lot of bridges into D.C.
Yeah, the founding fathers purposely picked D.C. because it was hard to invade.
Exactly. As the capital. And also because the South bargained to have the capital in the South. But anyways, so the idea of one of these bridges in the Beltway going down is crazy.
A lot of people don't understand that when a boat loses power, there is zero steering.
Right.
It does not. You can't. It's not like your car that if you lose power, you can still kind of coast your way and turn and all that shit. You can't do that here.
Yep.
There's no power, no steer.
Well, and whatever your last action was, it's almost like in space, right? Your last action will kind of propel you that way and there's no stopping
it. Oh, yeah. Parking a boat is super weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally different than what you would think because you have to have either acceleration or forward or backwards to make that thing move.
Right.
That's it. It's wild. So the people were saying, well, why didn't he just steer it out of the way? And I'm like, well, if you lose power, you have no way to steer. You're done. You're right. Dead in the water. And if you're moving forward, you're going to keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Me either. Go watch it for yourself. Make your own opinion.
Make it unfiltered.
Well, here at the Unfiltered Union, we also decided over spring break to do something kind of crazy.
What did we do?
We decided to get annual passes.
Yes.
To Busch Gardens, SeaWorld, Adventure Island. What else am I forgetting?
Aquatica.
And discounts to Discovery Cove.
Yeah, it's like 11 parks that are included.
Holy crap, is it really?
Yeah, I think so, but it's all over the country.
Oh,
we can go to any of those parks throughout the U.S.
Okay, fair. But the ones that are most local to us are going to be Busch Gardens, SeaWorld, Adventure Island, and Discovery Cove, I think, of the 11. There's four.
Sure.
Glad you agree. Okay. So we decided to get annual passes. We were wondering what to do for spring break. We both took a week off with our kiddo. And what do? So we decided to just YOLO it and get annual passes. We went to Busch Gardens for our first experience. Now, I had been to Busch Gardens in Williamsburg, Virginia, a long, 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 long time ago. Honestly, I don't really remember it. But the experience at the Busch Gardens in Tampa, I think it was really clean.
It was good.
The kids area was great. Plenty of adult rides. Lots of great animals.
Yes. It was a cool spot for sure.
But the food was horrible?
Well, I mean, we didn't really try to go out of our way to get anything good, though.
Okay. We can give it the benefit of the doubt.
They have that big restaurant. I can't remember what it's called.
Oh, the giraffe thing. Giraffe restaurant?
Well, they had that one that was like New Orleans or Serengeti something. I don't know.
Serengeti and New Orleans is two totally different.
Very close. But it was that we didn't try the restaurants.
Okay, fair. We did try grab and go type food. So
carnival food.
Yeah.
It's not going to be good.
Okay. And the parking was a little confusing too.
Yeah, well, that was our fault.
No, I'm talking about to even get into the parking zone in general. Remember, we made that crazy left turn
into the drop-off
area. But that's where GPS told us to go.
Well, he was supposed to drop us off. But that was okay. Once we figured it out, it's fine. So next time, it'll be perfectly fine.
I agree. But overall, I think the experience was enjoyable. We did a lot of the gentle rides. Our kiddo's not a big fan of roller coasters. Oh, we did one roller coaster in the Sesame Street area.
Greatest faces of all time.
We do have some really good pictures of her reaction to that.
That I will not show you because I don't know you.
Okay. creep. So also, again, we had the annual passes. It was spring break. We decided to go to Busch Gardens. Well, that Friday before spring break ended, we decided, let's go to Adventure Island, the water park.
The water park, yes.
That was a mistake. It was the Friday before spring break ended.
Which, to me, means it's going to be packed. The rides are going to be running. Hopefully, everybody's split amongst all the rides.
I agree. I thought it, I felt it in my soul that it was going to be crazy. It was going to be pretty packed.
Yeah, I mean, we live in Florida, and people come here for things like spring break. We know this.
But never in my wildest imagination did I think that there was going to be no food available other than churros and ices.
Well, in that spot that we went to that we waited 20 minutes to get food in line for.
Churros and ices. As well as they had three rides open.
Yep.
Three.
So you have it seemed like it was almost at capacity park. So all those people were only funneling to three rides.
Yep.
The lines were ridiculous. Then we proceed to go to use we have the Platinum Pass comes with one quick queue a day.
Yep.
We're allowed to skip the line once a day. And we went to use it. And the lifeguard there was like, oh, are we doing quick queue today? We were like, fuck, I don't, hang on. Yeah, I don't work here though, but yeah, you're doing it. And he let us on, but it was like, we were getting death stared by all these people because he didn't scan anything for us. It just felt weird.
Yeah.
So, and we did that one ride and
we left.
We weren't going to wait again.
Yeah.
So we left. It was a waste of a trip.
Luckily, it's not terribly far from where we live, but it was it was not worth it. It really wasn't.
No,
that was bad.
They should have just closed.
Mm-hmm.
They should have.
And we heard a bunch of security guards and other people who were working there talking about how many complaints they were getting.
Yes.
Guest services line was wrapped around the building for people either trying to get their money back or complaining. And people were getting pissed.
I felt bad for the on-the-ground employees that worked there.
Yeah.
Because they were getting berated.
Yep.
One of the security people we overheard, I don't know why people are mad at me. We just work here, you know? Yeah. I'm like, I'm not mad at you.
Nope. Not mad at you, but whoever runs this place.
I think it's a mistake to be open.
Yep.
But that's not on you. You're just working. And I understand.
Yeah, and the wave pool was under refurbation or whatever. Wrong word.
What is
that? Resurfacing? I don't know.
Refurbishment? That refurbation is not even a word.
I need a shirt with that word on
That's going on the merch shop. Refurbation. I gotta figure out how to spell that first. Holy shit.
That'll be good.
I'm terrified.
So overall, out of the two parks so far, only Busch Gardens was good.
Now,
Adventure Island wasn't fun.
I will say, though, that we have friends that go to Adventure Island a lot and
have never had that experience.
So we just had bad luck that day, but still.
We'll try again.
We will. We have annual passes.
And then most recently for Good Friday, our kiddo had out of school again. So we decided to use our pass again and go to SeaWorld.
We did go to SeaWorld, and that was another mistake.
It really wasn't, though. No. I feel like we put a lot of stress on that trip. And if we hadn't have done that, then maybe it wouldn't have been so rough. But we were determined, like .com determined to touch dolphins.
And the reason is because we are in Tampa. It's a long-ass drive.
To Orlando
to go to SeaWorld. So we wanted to make sure that if we're going there, we're going to do something that's almost kind of unforgettable.
Right.
And when we got there, we were like, holy shit, this place is packed. But they didn't allow us to book our animal encounter through the app.
Well, they didn't allow us to book our one free animal encounter through the app.
Right. So as a Platinum Pass member, you get one animal encounter a year included. And we were trying to do that. Well, we go to guest services, and guest services line is like 80 minutes long.
Yep.
Insane.
Yep.
So I'm panicking because I did not just drive from Tampa to Orlando to not touch a fucking pickle.
Explain. our kiddo described the touch and feel of a dolphin equivalent to a large pickle.
Yes, which is hilarious. Now I will never, ever forget that. Uh-huh. But yeah, we drove all that way. I wanted to touch a dolphin, and I wanted all of us to touch a dolphin. I got on the map, and we ran all the way. There's a guest services strictly for pass members. We ran literally from the start of the park to the end of the park. We're dying.
I had our kiddo on my back.
Uh-huh. We were running because we wanted to get it. And I was looking at the app, and you can see
the queue
for how many slots are left for these dolphin encounters. But you can't book it unless you pay for it. And they were slowly going away. And I'm like, if we don't go, we're not going to get one of these encounters.
Uh-huh. So we ran.
We ran, and we got it. And we touched a large pickle.
Her name was Haley.
That was awesome.
It really was. It was worth it for that. Oh, but yeah. Everything that led up to that, oh my God.
But that was on us. That was not SeaWorld's fault. We chose a day that everybody has off down here. And of course, it's going to be crowded.
Yep.
And plus,
we were determined.
It's spring break for a lot of
other places
that are traveling here for their spring break. So it was a good experience. It was just too crowded for me.
But I mean, like, overall, though, it is a very clean park.
Yeah. No, I've got no qualms with that park.
Yep.
It was awesome.
Yep. The kids area, again, had a Sesame Street area. We rode a carousel.
Yes.
That's like the only ride we really rode.
We did most of the animal experiences, which they have a nice looking aquarium. They have this shark experience, which was really cool. Go on this conveyor belt. Like, did the sharks think we were sushi?
I saw it on your face as soon as you.
We were for the sharks.
That's my funny. Gosh.
But yeah, it's a conveyor belt that you go through this tank that you, it feels like you're inside of it, and you got sharks swimming all around. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was a really good experience. And again, we focused on the animals rather than the rides, but that's what our kiddo wanted, and that's what we did.
Yeah.
The only thing we didn't do was food. Again, we did kind of the carnival food option.
Yeah.
But what they had available seemed better.
Yes.
Than Adventure Island and Busch Gardens.
What was that? Bar and Grill. No, it wasn't Bar and Grill. It was their fancy restaurant was actually inside of that shark exhibit.
Yeah,
so you would,
Shark Cove.
Yeah, Shark Cove or something
Cave,
like that.
Shark Cove.
But you would sit in that shark tank. It was cool as shit.
Well, you would sit in a restaurant that had a shark tank view.
Yeah, but it was like, it looked like you were in it. Because like the whole wall, think floor to ceiling was shark tank.
Yep.
And they're swimming right next to people that are eating. And I'm like, that's kind of unsettling, but I'll do it. But I do think our next stop is going to be Discovery Cove.
I really do think we need to do that. Yeah, it's a must.
It's a day resort, and it's all artificial, but they have an artificial reef you can actually swim through, and there's fish in there. So you're swimming amongst all these nice-looking tropical fish. You can swim with dolphins, and then if you pay extra, you can swim with sharks.
Never in a million years, but yes to the dolphins.
I think the dolphins are actually included. I think you can upgrade your experience, though, and do, like, different dolphin experiences. Like, they'll tow you.
I want to swim with a dolphin,
yes. I do, too.
I want to touch another pickle.
I do, too. I would love to swim with a pickle.
I would never in a million years willingly...
Swim with sharks?
Jump into a swim area with sharks. If they're there, I get into the ocean. Yes, I do swim in the ocean. I know that they're out there somewhere, but to willingly say, I want to swim with a shark. No.
I get what you're saying.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. Because if you walked up to the beach and you saw a shark fin swimming around, you're not getting in.
Fuck no.
Exactly. Because you know it's there.
Right.
But if you walk up to the beach and there's no shark fin, then you're fine.
Yes.
Because.
Thanks for mansplaining what I was just.
Oh, Jesus.
That's another shirt we need to make.
What was it? I can't remember.
Refurberation.
Now. Refurberation.
Yeah, write it down.
I'm going to now.
I think the last two things that I wanted to hit on here is.
This is an hour show.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
So have you heard of this term called sleep divorce?
Yes.
What does it mean?
You just sleep in separate rooms.
Yeah. So this article said, if you're tired of being tired, you might consider what more couples are finding themselves doing. More couples sleeping in separate bedrooms. And while that may sound, you know, really good, like if you're not in bed next to me, I know. Where are you? And then my mind starts going, right?
Yeah, but maybe that's the problem.
So what, I should just not expect you to come to bed?
I don't know.
That would be weird.
We have an alarm system. You'll know if I leave.
I don't really care.
You do. That's a lie.
It's a comfort, right? It's the security that you are there. Right?
Yeah, but then
it's
you bitch about comforting. Me snoring.
True.
Well, I think the point is...
And you bitch about me snoring. What's your point?
It's less about you snoring, more about you talking. I don't know who the fuck you're talking to.
I have a lot to process in my sleep. Thank you. And then to add another layer, in a separate bed in our bedroom.
We have 76 beds in our bedroom.
We really do. No, we have two. And one bed is us. And then in another bed, but still in our bedroom, is our daughter and dog.
Yeah. And the dog will scratch his neck in the middle of the night and then like do the little on his arms. Do they have arms? Legs?
And our kiddo talks too. I guess it's a hereditary thing.
Oh my God. I'm surprised you two haven't conversated before while you were sleeping.
Conversated.
That's a word.
But I just thought about the sleep divorce. Like the idea of you not sleeping in the bed is one thing. But the idea of our kiddo not being in the other bed.
Actually sleeping in her own room.
That's crazy.
I know.
Is that a divorce? That's not a divorce.
No. That's a sleep adoption. De-adoption.
Emancipation.
Oh my God.
It's about time to wrap this up. Yeah. Okay, so last quote here of the day. You ready?
No.
Kid Rock. He's so inspirational. He's so funny. He literally tweeted the other day, I'm now driving the field trip bus after banging four hookers last night. Dad of the year.
I could hear it. I definitely believe that he would say something like that for sure. Love you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Unfiltered Union.
Did you like the episode? Support the show. Visit us on Patreon at patreon.com/unfilteredunion.
Or you can rock some merch. Check out our store at store.unfilteredunion.com.
For all other things unfiltered, check out our site at unfilteredunion.com.
It's what you do with the things you love.